Okay, so the last bracha, the Gemara says, is a much longer bracha. And in the lists that you find in some Rishonim, how to get to 100 brachas, they count Hamavir Shena Meina Yisma Mechapoyas, ending with Gomel Chasidim Tovim Amo Yisrael. You look in all the Siddurim, it doesn't say Amen after this bracha like by the others. Okay. At this point, the poskim say you should take out whatever is in your eyes. Feel your eyes. You have it in any of it now? Usually people take it out when they're saying Kriyat Shema. But you should remove that. Hama'avir, listen to the words. Hama'avir she'na me'enoi. That comes from sleep, those little crusts. All right? So remove that, because that's Hama'avir she'na me'enoi. Right? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who takes the she'na. That's Hanosein lo yoyev koach. A pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu that Dafka, as I mentioned yesterday, is not found in the Gemara, but that's part of the it's part of our liturgy that we don't know of its origin. We see it appearing for the first time in the Gaonim, but since it's not in the Gemara, but there's a famous shita of the Vilna Gaon that says he's not adverse to saying brachas just because they're not in the Gemara. He feels that if the Gaonim wrote this bracha, it must be that they had the bracha in some source that we just don't have now. It's very famous, especially in Yerushalmi. There's a whole collection of Gaonim that quote Yerushalmis that we don't have in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Right? Such as not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. Ever hear that? Show me where that is. It's no such marriage. Right? But everyone quotes Yerushalmi that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, your luck will sleep on you the rest of the year. Everyone quotes it, but it's not on the pages. Anyway, there are 30 of them. Yes. Right. So okay, the word is ayef, but sometimes the letters switch right. And I was saying, like, why do we say ya'ef koach? The word is ayef. Ata ayef v'yageh lo yirei Elohim. So this happens. The reason why the bracha has it as Hanosein lo yirei koach. No, it's because this is as I mentioned, this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Say for Yeshayahu, and in Yeshayahu it's ya'ef, not like they have it in the Torah. So we're going to say it like it is in this particular pasuk, right? Okay. All right, so let's just analyze this bracha here. All right, so look at the top of page 28. Lahagrozal ein mevarchin birchas hamavir ad me'afapoi b'tishabav uviyom kippurim. All right, I understand shasoli kol tzarki because I'm not wearing my regular shoes. Shasoli kol tzarki is what you see, bracha you say when you put on your shoes. Since on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, I've drastically changed my footwear. I shouldn't say this bracha because it's unique to me. It's not pokeach einai. It's okay if kufufa. You know, talking about in general. So a blind man can also say pokeach ivrim, like we said. But so here, because here too, look at the words. Hamavir sheino me'einoi. So it's unique to me. Talking about something that I did. So why don't you say this on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Take a look. All right? So he says afterwards that the Siddur Vilna adds, Val korchach lo yomar gam v'hiratzon. You shouldn't say the whole last bracha. Ki akol bracha achasi. You can't start just a hiratzon. You would be starting in the middle of a bracha. So leave out the whole thing. Right? So ad La'amo Yisrael, which is the end of the paragraph, you see. So leave out this whole thing on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Right? Ela b'layla achar rechitzas haponim yivarech ha-ma'avir v'hi ratzon. So what should you do? After Yom Kippur is over, after Tisha B'Av is over, you're still up. Right? You're about to eat. So when you wash your hands, start eating, wash your face also, and then say this whole bracha then. This is not normative halacha. This is not cited by the Mishnah Berurah as a normative practice. Right? We say this on and most people say Shasoli Kol Tzarki on Tisha B'Av also. and Yom Kippur, for especially with the nice comfortable shoes we're wearing. I mean, it's lost its meaning today. You see them. Look at, go to take a test of what people are wearing on Tisha B'Av. They're wearing comfortable rubber sneakers, right? Sneakers that they might normally wear another time to take a walk in the park. Right? I'm not saying that you, especially in Yom Kippur is not a din of discomfort. Maybe Tisha B'Av, maybe. Right? Although the inisim is not shosechem, it has to be some inui that's different than what you're used to. I think it's Yom Kippur is a yontif, and you should be dressed in your finest clothes. So I think what people should do is buy a black pair of sneakers. Let's go Yom Kippur with all these nice clothing with a pair of ugly dirty sneakers or naot or worse, the clogs, or what are they called, those
Crocs.
Those with the Crocs. Maybe dark Crocs, maybe, but it's yontif. You have to dress no less on yontif than on Yom Kippur than on Shavuos. Anyway,
is this the minute that you don't answer Amen at the end? Usually the Chazan,
yes,
you don't answer Amen.
Yes, yes, because the bracha doesn't end until Israel. So, and we brought a raya from this, and the Vilna Gaon said that when it says Veha Arev No. So you also shouldn't answer Amen to Hanan Lasok B'Divrei Sora, which should only be an Inyan on probably on Shavuos, because otherwise everyone's saying that to themselves. Right? So when it continues, V'harev Noav, V'hi Ratzon, not Yehi Ratzon, V'hi Ratzon, implies that the bracha is continuing. All right? Okay, so what is the nature of this bracha? Right? So this is, but the way we say it, we're saying it in Shul. But the way the Gemara has to say this is you still say this in the home as you're preparing for your daily dressing, you're walking around, you're stretching, you're putting on your belt, your hat, you're doing things. So the first thing that you note, and this is going to come up again at the end of davening, is that hopefully you have a plan. You know, I have my list of things to do, right? These are the things I have to do this morning, right? So now people put it on the palm pile, but I like to have a record so I can cross it out. So sometimes I forget to put something on, and I write it so I can cross it out. So I recognize that I'm going to be, oh my goodness, well, I can't, that person is going to give me a hard time if I try to do that, and I'm trying to make peace between this child and his parents, and I'm trying to make peace between that husband and wife, and I'm trying to, this Chasna College just broke up, and I tried to bring them back together, and I recognize that I'm going to have a lot of trouble doing these things. Plus, I may even have a test of my own Yetzirah while I'm doing those things. Will I act properly? Will I be immoral in the way I try to do things? I have this big real estate deal coming up, and there's a questionable aspect of it, but I certainly don't want to cost my firm $75 million. So I'm going to be tested with all kinds of yetzara, especially with Gezel and Arayos. So I'm asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tivienu Loli Dechet Loli Deavera Vavom. Okay, the best way to do that is Shetargilein B'Sar Sacha. Let the way I approach those things be from a Torah standpoint, and I'll be protected from Chet and Avon. Why three different words, Chet, Avera, and Avon? Just say, keep me from sinning, God. What do I have to say? Keep me from sinning, violations, and iniquities. Right? Because each word is, of course, a different type of sin. Okay? Chet is a sin of omission. I missed something. I made a mistake. You bring a chatas for a shogeg, not for a mezid. Mezid doesn't bring a karma, right? A chet is a mistake. Usually we forgive mistakes. No, we forgive accidents. Mistakes depends on how common you make them, how often you make them. Mistakes are avoidable. Accidents are not. So a chet is also, when Bathsheba told David, you better tell people who's going to be the next king, because if Adoniyahu becomes king, remember the famous passage she said, V'hayu Shlomo b'ni v'ani chato'im. Sinful if he becomes king. What does that mean? I will tune in on that. We'll discuss what chet alone.